Morning, folks. Can I just do a quick test? How many head teachers are in here just now? Yeah, not many. They're all in a jolly through at Cameron House on the SLS conference, obviously. Many people are teachers, are working in secondary schools, primary schools. Yeah, so the bulk, and then support services, bulk improvement. It's good because I'll try and tell. This is not a lecture, it's a kind of double act. We'll talk at times. We're here to tell our story. I was interested listening to Steve this morning because I really resonated with you because the idea that pedagogy is at the core is so absolutely correct. And that's been something that's been so evident in our 2-year journey with it, but 5-year journey in getting there. The bit about wrong solutions, I'm going to share with you a horribly wrong solution that, you know, we nearly applied, and we would not be where we are just a little bit. The gains are also complex. There's so many other things we've done in schools. Please don't all be thinking that's it, that's what they're doing. It's IT, it's solving everything. You know, we've worked hard on things like restorative practice, growing confidence programmes, huge range of partnerships. So it's a complex, you know, analysis to try and work out the gains. But what we've got for you here is some comments. We're going to share some of the story, and we'll get some inserts with staff talking about it and students. And we're going to start off with an excerpt from Good Life, a video. Yeah. High-tech school, smart boards in every room, 3rd year to 6th year, we deliberately didn't get first and second year iPads based on some of the studies. I think the jury's out on that one. So it's a fantastic place to work. I welcome Chinese visitors because that early film there, we were in a conference in China at Easter and we took part of that film along to show where we were. Some of the Hibernian fans in the school said, is that a kind of guided missile that's coming in on time capsule? We weren't always in this good place technologically wise, and Ollie Bray, who's speaking later, is sitting up the back there. He was in the start of our journey because he came to speak. I was 6 weeks in post 5 years ago, and we had the staff away for that kind of vision building exercise that new heads do. And he was doing some things in PowerPoint. And the only technology I could see in our old school before we moved to that new school were a couple of mobile, not always functioning smartphones. Right? So I'm going to be provocative now. I was asked to do that. If we can do it from that position, anybody could. We also had a 6-figure deficit, a lot of distractions, HMI follow-up visits and visits, a dilapidated older building. So we can get there. I'm aware it's not a solution for all schools, but we'll say a bit more about that. I felt, though, that in trying to develop that early vision, it was really crucial that we played to the kind of strengths we could have. And as a school in West End, but it's got incredibly strong traditions. So our kind of branding as a school is based on tradition. It's over 100 years old. Wilfred Owen taught there. It's a really friendly place. It's really multi. It's diverse. It's 38 languages. It's a wide social spread. We vary between 25 and 30% free school meals. So inclusion, friendliness. A strong historical identity, but I thought we need something to counterbalance all this old stuff, because the staff had taken a wee bit of a beating from HMI. 2.1 QI was the kind of weak area. So I thought, right, I really think that looking at staff field with experience, we could turn these disadvantages into advantages. So I put as our 3rd area, School of Innovation, right, with 2 mobile smartboards. A bit of a cheek. Over the course of the next 6 months, I knew we were moving to a new school and that the new school was kitted out, and there was a real willingness among a lot of the staff to learn how to use these smart boards that they were going to be finding out about. There was a lot of, you know, reticence as well, but I knew there were going to be good things happening. So when we moved to the new school, I also took advantage of the great facilities, and we hosted just about every Edinburgh or national conference we could get our hands on. We had the Edinburgh Learning Festival there in the 1st year there at the end of it. We also had, I can't remember who it was now, but there was a visiting 3-week technology display some of you might have visited, and we had visualisers and, you know, the green screens and the multi-touch surfaces. And we managed to get ourselves on the Microsoft School of Innovation programme by filling in a big audit. So there was a kind of capacity, or shall we say, an image built and not very much developing in the school. I also say that we're not standing here being promoting Apple in any way. We started off very much with this kind of Microsoft tag. It was of necessity, because I think it was key to me. It's not just about transforming learning and pedagogy, it's about school culture. And I wanted to create our core identity around learning and innovation. And there was another necessity for me. We are surrounded by, and Edinburgh can be really, really bad for this, you know, the kind of parental choice magnet school thing, and we've got Burnmuir, highest attaining school in Scotland, which is closer, I think, to one of our main feeder primaries. We've got Craigmount at the western side, another high attaining school, and we're a school that's competing with that. And so I had to clear messages to parents, and I thought, you know, innovation, technology is the way we're going to do this. I'm acutely aware that this is not the solution for all schools. Some of you, if I was in a school of we're under 600, say 12, 13, 1400, it can be done, and I know schools like Port Revere are doing this, but it's maybe more of a challenge. And if you think you've got more affluent students and they've got the devices at home, you may be holding out for the bring your own device, which, you know, Jenny informed me earlier, it can also stand for bring your own disaster, because you've got the kind of multi-platform challenges for a teacher, and I think that could inhibit a good pedagogical practice. So, to me, it was about our identity, and it was about changing our school culture, and so off we set. It took us a couple of years. All the distractions were budgets. Had to really get a really tight strat standard and curricular structure. We also went to town on lets. We're lucky with this new building. We had Turkish weddings in the school. Anyone here get married go ending at once in a while? Well, weddings, please get in touch with us. We put ourselves on a filmmaking site. And Pramface, a BBC 3 thing about teenage pregnancy, all the school scenes were shot in our school. That got us a five-figure sum. So the money that's paid for a lot of this technology has been hard-earned, and it's also been, you know, earned through really efficient use of staffing or whatever. So moving on from there, the staff began to get excited about the vision. They were, and I said, right, well, after 2 years, we managed to get quite a war chest together. By year three, we were ready to spend it. We were ready to go in that shopping splurge. And as I think happens in schools, departments were thinking about their own needs. I heard some gentlemen at the table earlier talking, how do you get them sharing? And people were wanting things like wanted visualisers and CDT, they wanted laptops and art, they wanted, you know, iPads and other areas. We had a few pilots where iPads get on in PE, they were going really well, and we also had a few get on in music. But there was no consensus across the school. What we did have was a really good innovation group. And I think it's really important not to have your, the word geek was used earlier, I don't like to use it, but don't have your techie geeks on these groups. Have your really good, sort of pedagogically sound ambassadors. And they began to talk about things, we had a lot of meetings, but even with this great pool of talent there, we were about to buy probably about £100,000 worth of kit based on, you know, all sorts of things. And we paused, because we are careful, and with the support of the digital learning team, didn't keep sitting over there, we didn't make that big mistake that I think Steve was warning about earlier. And we paused for 9 months. And we then went into a new phase where we thought, well, let's just reevaluate our vision. A lot of staff weren't happy. And then we said, let's consider whether or not we should be going the win-to-win route. So a lot of staff in the innovation group at this point were visiting schools that were ahead of us, that they're really early adopters, and some of them were using Toshiba tablets, others primaries, iPads, whatever. And I stood back at that point, and the staff over a period of quite a few months decided that the iPad one-to-one, you know, model was the one that they wanted to go with. And the planning, I think, was in place. We had a lot of discussion with students, with focus groups, first year, 6 year, feeding into that. And I think over that period of time, consensus built out. I'm really glad that Edinburgh was very supportive, had allowed us to carry forward budgets for the head teachers in the office. You know the pressure they spend money, and they allowed us to go beyond the carry forward list, and they also match funded year one. And we were going to start this with a third year and build up on that. So that's the kind of vision stage. We then get into the kind of preparation and readiness stage. And at this point, there was a real flurry across the school, people discussing, right, what apps are we going to use? You know, how are we going to use it? CPD, with people already using the one-to-one devices, sharing what they were doing. I have to say, a lot of fun, a lot of really, really good, 100% attended voluntary Friday afternoon sessions. You don't often get that. Everybody was in for this. We also had to decide on the year groups. And that's at the point where we decided, you know, first and second year wasn't the right one. We were reading things like studies from Australia. And there was also, at that point, studies coming out of the Hull University, one of the kind of early pilots in Edinburgh. So we thought, well, we'll go third year and we'll just build it up there and try and get the year groups over the next few years from 3 to 6 on that. Meanwhile, the senior team were slightly demented in the background. because you can't underestimate the operational pressures in delivering this. We had to get user agreements, we adapted ones that were already out there, you know, who wants to saw sawdust, and we perfected it to suit our own school needs. We were thinking about what kind of behaviour, because you want a two staff saying, they'll take photos of me in class, they'll record me, you know, that kind of worry. So we had some 10-point things, and the innovation team came up with them, like, when you bring an iPad in, take it out, put it on the desk, put it face down when it's on, unless the teacher wants, only use apps that you want to use. Fairly basic stuff, but I think it gave staff that early security with the devices. We were also really researching and getting up to speed with the kind of social media guidelines, you know, keeping yourself safe. There's a lot of good Scottish Government, Education Scotland, things on this. We were putting regular bulletins out to parents, telling them good news stories where they were and preparing it and just building a consensus for that. And eventually, we got to the point that we had a timeline, and we were thinking, right, in about 6 weeks' time, we need to issue these iPads. And that was a kind of shock phase, because we knew we'd fixed the deadline, we couldn't pull back on it, and it was only then that things like we hadn't got the covers, which covers did we buy? We had to engrave every iPad, we had to put security tags on them, we had to find, you know, we decided on the Meraki management system. I brought in extra office staff time to make sure everybody was, you know, uploaded correctly and the details were correct on that. So a huge amount of stuff in the background, operational things. And the innovation group were really, really helpful at this point when they were talking, even just storing iPads. I wakened up screaming one night thinking somebody's nicked all the iPads. Somebody's in the SQA room, and that's where they were hiding, the most secure room in the school. But they were okay, and we got them out. Has anyone here ever 100% parents turn up at any meeting? Well, we did for every yearbook, and there was a couple that couldn't make it, and they sent somebody instead of them. Not for the information meeting, but probably average 85% turned up for the pre-issue meeting, but 3 weeks before it. And that was the kind of, that's the so important meeting, because they wanted to ask questions, and someone was saying, but he could be on doing bad things at home on that iPad, you're not going to let him take it home, are you? Well, why wouldn't we? It's a one-to-one device, it's got, you know, same as we staff. But they might do something bad with it. We said, do they have a smartphone? You know, all the hands went up. So, well, what are you doing already? So it became a really good platform for having a dialogue with parents about digital safety and social media awareness. And at the issue evenings, and I've got to applaud the staff, the people volunteering, it took us a two-hour session to issue the first set of yearbook iPads, and it was a big yearbook in fourth year. And, you know, it was a slick operation at the time. We finished doing it, but people doing presentations, taking them through how you could support home study, going through all the concerns, explaining the setup. We had a lot of good support. Edinburgh is really privileged in that sense from the digital learning team, and Jenny was part of that team at that point. So we had things set up, they went away, and there was a lot of follow-up after that point. I think I can't overemphasise, though, the excitement in the school at the time. It was one of the best days of my career, going round the next day, talking to students about it, just the levels of excitement. And to me, I was very early, it was confirmed for me that this was having a positive impact on school culture. I totally picked up Steve's cautionary points about the use of IT, and I did worry a lot about that. They're playing games, you know, they won't be using them properly and whatever. And you know what? That probably did and can happen, but that's just part of the pressure paid for moving it on. It's crucial that the senior team supports this highly visibly. And you need a kind of workflow, sort of checking and monitoring. We had a sheet where every day we checked so many iPads as part of the Duty Head programme. We recorded anybody that didn't bring it in fully charged. We made contact with parents about it. But it wasn't happening too much. We were really, really pleasantly surprised by that. However, after about a month, just that level of that, I thought, we cannot sustain this without investing in it. If it is that important to our school culture, I'll have to get some staff in. So I advertised for a part-time post, and we were very lucky that people came forward and Jenny got that post. And I would say now that it's really hard to sustain it without that level of commitment. And as more authorities and schools are doing it, it's really hard for central teams to support this kind of area. So here we are. We've got the iPads, we've made it right, we've avoided a big mistake. I was thinking of Henry Ford when he said, if you ask people what they want, they'll tell you faster horses. So we nearly bought faster horses instead of the new technology, the better options, the one-to-one devices. And we move into the phase where we were actually using it And I'm going to share for you some of the big picture gains now. You'll see more detail from the users in a moment on that. Jenny will see a lot more details. Biggest thing for me in order, but this is the biggest one, this is in priority, professional dialogue facilitated. I have never been aware in my career, in and out of schools for 30 years, of teachers across faculty talking so much. You hear it in corridors, you see them outside rooms, they've always got their iPad and they're saying, have you seen this? Have you seen how you can do this with that, or Shadow Puppet, or Adobe, or Simple Mind, or what? They're talking more. It's the informal things, it's the plan, really high attendance, a real keenness for staff to engage in the delivery in these CPD sessions. And I think it's much better than saying I booked a course to do something with iPads in 6 weeks' time. It's kind of immediate. I see significant practice shift. We actually see in a number of classrooms, and you'll see the evidence of where, you know, the flipped classroom approach, they experience the content of the lesson, and the teacher it's changing the relationship between teachers and students. The teacher is not so much the giver of knowledge, they really are the person that's there facilitating the learning, and you know, working with little groups and reinforcing things like that. So we definitely see that. And point that stuck with me, and it's that reinforces Steve's point about pedagogy, that this will not work in schools if it's not part of a broader pedagogical sort of change framework where teachers are collaborating and, you know, they're working with each other and they're committed and they are totally engaged with the technology. The second big point I wanted to share with you was that it really opens up access. And, you know, the classroom can access the world. I still teach a little English and history with my subjects. And I was looking at the Ellis Island immigration, you know, patterns a couple of months ago, and immediately they were on these kind of 3D tours of the Ellis Island things. Fantastic, you know. I started my career with, like, you know, chalk boards, and I was asthmatic and allergic to them, and here they are touring in Ellis Island. Fantastic. It also means they're working more at home, and I think the staff do that, you know, staff workload, staff balance, work-life balance, but I keep hearing staff saying, have you seen this? I was looking at this. I was on Pedagoo last night. You know, or emails that come out saying, here, this is a really funny clip, but it makes a good point. Things about mindsets or whatever. There's a lot more of that kind of light-hearted stuff going on with it. I haven't seen that before. I think history, social subjects, and PSE use it. It's a big access issue for them in terms of the content. Creativity, key 21st century skill, you know, problem solving. Communication, collaboration, it really enhances that. And you can even see it getting into things like assessment. With my history class last week, we were doing a kind of unit assessment on Civil Rights Act, and instead of writing a mini essay, three of them were working on iMovie, two of them were working on Shadow Puppet, because they just need to show their understanding of content. Others were using a kind of Simple Mind, mind map approach to it. Huge range, and they were all good, and they all suited them. So I think that improves creativity when they're doing that. And also engagement. And as part of the engagement, I think it's easier for teachers to meet needs and for students to meet needs. Some of the students we see speaking are EL students, but they didn't want to talk about that, but it's really, really helped our EL department, you know, with kind of online dictionaries and instant or Google Translate things that they can use as well. So it's meeting need. It's encouraging independent learning. We have seen an improvement in homework. When I was away in Flanders September on the battlefields trip, there were students sending essays, history essays, higher essays to be marked on Edmodo. And the evenings were away. The teacher, all credit to her, but I said, don't do that. I was actually marking them and sending them back. But I'm trying to show you the kind of cultural shift in schools. Parental links. We've got two big parent events coming up in the next 2 weeks, 25 and 6 of time together. And we're going to share with every parent the Edmodo codes so that they can actually look and see what's happening as well. That's an area we're working out that we can use iPads to further improve communication. Final big thing for me is trust. I use that as a real believer, and I say to students, you know, you've done something really stupid there, you know, and we trust you with an iPad, and you put something on a social media site that can be construed as bullying. I think trusting the students, trusting the staff, I've had a very backseat role in driving this after the initial sort of vision exercise of it. It's like that old film, isn't it? Field of Dreams, if you kind of build it and they will come. And I just kind of feel things are taking off and moving on. And we've been at pains to say we're really comfortable with the pace that staff are moving at. The best example I can give, I suppose, was a teacher. You know, everybody's got different levels of IT confidence. And one of the staff that I'd been really worried about a couple of years ago came panicking looking for Jenny on Tuesday morning. Jenny wasn't in Tuesday, saying, "I've got a bit of my adapter stuck in iPad. I can't teach this morning. I really need this." And to me, that was one of the kind of wee practical indicators of the shift and the transformation that's taking place. And we managed to get it fixed. So at this point, I think we might want to hear from some of the staff. Mm-hmm. So you'll stand here with lemons
and the iPad and the introduction of the students, it's been amazing. The apps that I use have helped the teaching, the learning of the kids. For example, my dancing control, I use an iPad a lot in class 1 to 4. I need to use to perform the technique and the dances for them. Then I upload it to iTunes, so if they're off that day, the work's there for them. I also use Showbe to collect them work, which is really useful because we need to have so many videos for every child. And it's quite a lot for storage. So what the girls do is they use their iPads in class, they film themselves, doing the work, and send it straight to me, which is handy because I can use it at school or at home. I think having the iPads has been amazing because for me, technology, like the phone and things, but having iPads has just opened up a whole new world, and I just think they're brilliant.
Okay, I used the app Explain Everything to help my students when I was out of school and they had a cover teacher in. So I just very quickly videoed myself doing a video to me doing a problem at night, very late at night. It wasn't tidy, it wasn't neat. I put it on, they picked up on Edmodo and they said it was really useful the next day.
So if you factorise 5x squared takes 17x, add 6. That is going to give you, across the top of your box there, your x, take 3, and you multiply that by 5x, take 2.
Well, iPads are definitely impacted in an extremely positive way on teaching and students' learning. To begin with, coming from a history background is a little bit sort of suspicious about using iPads, you know, the fact that history is a mainly written subject, but it really is just another tool to your teaching and your learning. They have access to so many different ways of learning about the past, particularly as history can be a little bit contextual. They can access the Imperial War Museum, they can go on Education Scotland website, they can use the History Past Paper website. It's just fantastic being able to access all these resources in your classroom. It works really well for things like what you're learning, when you're doing research tasks, and it definitely engages them in different ways.
John Muir was a naturalist from Scotland. He was born in Edinburgh on the 21st of April. When he was 11 years old, he moved to America with his family. When he got to America, they bought a farm and worked there. In early March, John lost his eyesight in an accident. But he soon gained his sight and he ran a 1,000-mile walk to celebrate. John was the founder of the High Sierra Club in 1882. John died on the 21st of December in America during 1914.
The big impact that technology's had on learning for young people support is that given that we're a dynamic subject and also the resources we need to be up to date, be able to access those resources live in class and appropriate resources for the right time, it makes a big difference to what the other people can get out of their learning experience.
I asked my SPs to use their iPads to create book trailers. They had to read a book at home in their own time, and rather than writing a traditional review in paper, they had to use their iPads using a chosen app to create a book trailer. Most of them use iMovie's trailer function, which is really simple, and they had to sell their book to a chosen audience, highlighting the author's book, if you like.
Thank you.
task was the response of the students, but we did say about it, and that really was the purpose of celebrating enjoyment of books without even realising it by using an app, because we all got excited about the different versions and the different the own creations, if you like, and enjoyed books and books, and hopefully the books that we have in classmates in practice.
I'm really excited by the fact that I've got iPads in the classroom. I've got an iPad, my students have got iPads. And the thing that's changed my teaching most of all is using iTunes U. So what I do is I'll post the materials that we're going to be using each lesson in advance of the lesson. And in preparation, the students are expected to engage with these materials. It might be video clips to watch, text to read. And they bring what they've learned from that to the lesson, so that during the lesson, they're applying what they've read or seen. So the students are much more actively involved. I'm not stuck in one place in the room. I'm able to go around, talk to students, probe the depth of their understanding. And they are, you know, they're active. They've got something that they can show from what they've learned in that lesson. And it's just great fun. I would never have been able to do this without iPads. It's just transformed the way I approach my teaching. I just feel the students get so much more out of it.
I'm just going to talk to you for a little time about some of the actual practical things that we've been doing with the iPads, so that staff and students have been working on. So you've got a wee bit of a takeaway if you've got iPads there in your school and they're not quite maybe living up to what you thought. Hopefully this will help with that as well. One of the first things that happened when the staff were issued with their iPads, and I wasn't at Tynecastle at that time, is that they were able to access their email. It doesn't sound revolutionary, but when you can access your email from anywhere, sitting in any meeting, in any part of our classroom, that was hugely beneficial to our staff. So they thought, instant win with that one. The next thing that happened was that the school calendar was shared over the calendars as well. So we all shared the link out and picked that up on our iPads. So not only did the teachers have their email, oh my goodness, the school calendar, which often was on version 5 on paper and not quite sure which version it was immediate and always up to date in front of our staff. We're now rolling that out, and we're beginning it now to our students. So on our website, we have staff creating calendars for the courses, and the students just tap on them, and the calendar for that particular course appears in their iPad as well. So we're beginning to join everything up for our students now as well, and they're beginning to manage their time using the iPad. Class information. Most of you are probably working with CMIS in school, and at the moment, the one thing that was, I want to be able to register my classes on the iPad. At the moment, I'm sorry, it's a no. However, CMIS and the colleagues at Digital Learning Team can help with this as well. I've teamed up with Group Call, and now, hopefully, sometime soon, we will be able to register kids on our iPads as well. We've been using the app iDocio. Our teachers love iDocio for holding student information on the iPad, homework, work that's been done in class, seating plans, if that's the sort of thing that you want in there. And that really helps engage with parents and parents' evening as well, because no longer is that bundle of paper at the side of the desk. It's now an actual interaction on the work that your child has been doing as well, and video clips and information right to hand on them. The way that our staff and that we communicate with our students has changed significantly. We're using iTunes U, Showbie and Mojo, a combination of those three things in school at the moment, to communicate with students to move work to and from iPads, or also other devices as well, because these are online, so Showbie and Edmodo can be accessed from any browser. So our kids now are beginning to see that things are joined up, that actually there's no reason why your work's not here. Do you know what? All those notes that you've been taking are now on the iPad. It's wonderful. And you'll hear from our students later on as well, the change that's made for them. The word that you will hear us say quite often just now is access. immediately, and you heard our history teacher Linda talk about that. I'm a music teacher, that's my background. In fact, one of the teachers at Tynecastle said to me, "Where did you do your degree in computer science, Jenny?" And I was like, I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but I didn't. I'm a music teacher, but I love technology and I love exciting other people about it as well. And one of the things is now we have access in those classrooms that traditionally were not one-to-one. So maybe there was one computer in the corner, two if you're lucky, in a history classroom, maybe English. Now, all of our students in those classes with iPads have access to information, to resources that maybe they only heard about or had to access at home or in the library or somewhere else. It's now immediate, and the learning takes place when it needs to happen. It doesn't happen at 2:30 on Thursday next week when we're all going to the ICT suite. And I've forgotten what we're doing then anyway. It happens now and when it's needed. So that's one of the key things that's happened to Tynecastle. Where those are the sort of practical things that have been happening that have made things easier. They've made things better because they're easier. But where's that really transformed in the learning and teaching that we're seeing from our students and from the content that our staff are making now as well? So you'll see some of our teachers in that clip there were using content creation apps. When you first are given an iPad for use in school, a lot of the teachers we saw when I was with the digital learning team will come with an iPad full of 1,000 apps. It will be full. And then those teachers might think, I'm going to put those apps in a folder. And they've got lots of lovely folders on their iPads and they still can't find anything. A lot of those apps are all about drilling, it's all about practice, so brilliant. That's a brilliant maths app to practice. But how can you show me that you've actually understood that and you can create something else with that knowledge and we can work up Blooms as well? So this is where these empty apps, there's nothing in them. They're empty until you or your students create something. So we've got Keynote and Explain Everything, Quizlet's up there as well. We've got iTunes U for our staff and our students to contribute to content for courses now as well. Our students are demonstrating learning in different ways. You've seen that they still use pencils. They still have some jotters. The screen time issue is interesting because I think some people are under the impression that in a one-to-one setup, it's you looking at the iPad all day. It's not. Everything that happened before, those activities still continue. So it's wonderful for our kids to be able to demonstrate ways that they choose, that they've chosen to show how they've understood. Communication between our staff, our students, our parents, and the wider community, and wider as in the world now, has been enhanced as well. We had quite an aging kind of website when I started. We've updated that now. We've got Twitter feeds for most of our faculties and departments, and subjects that you'll find all linked in with the school website. So our students, if there's a brilliant piece of work just happened, the teacher can take a photo of that and instantly share it with the world. And we've opened up the conversations between ourselves and outside of school now. Actually, that's the website in Romanian. Your website can do this as well. It can translate into any number of languages, and we had a parent actually come along to the parent council the last meeting because she saw it advertised on Twitter. She came along to our meeting and I was hi, I think we all did, that had worked. And we easily showed her, and she didn't have a huge amount of English, that the website could be translated into her language so she could read it comfortably as well as using it in English. Twitter's been brilliant for us as well. That's not an iPad technology, that's a technology that we all can use with or without iPads to really share what's going on and start the conversations with other people as well. And again, there's that word access. Having these devices with our kids and with our students opens up a whole world of information. And that is information that we want to think about and analyse, but it's no different to the information that was found in a book, that when actually that's printed, somebody wrote that book. Why did they write that? And it's printed, so therefore it's pretty out of date. And when I was with the team, we were doing our primary evaluation, and one of the parents come back and said, "You know, we're doing sort of medical examples at the moment. I'm a doctor, and I'd be horrified if I was just reading books to find out. I needed to check the latest research, and I can only do that online." Professional learning, we heard Steve talk about that earlier. A big part of my role at Tynecastle is about developing staff potential and the capacity for them to help themselves. It's always, don't ask me first, can you Google it? We teach that to our students. Can you ask somebody else? Can you find out? Then come to me. We want our staff to be at that level as well. And they are. Some of them are there now. Some of them are getting there. But all of them are engaged in this process that we're going through. The brilliant thing about having somebody, whoever it is with responsibility for this in your school, is that you make sure that the CPD that's happening is relevant. I'm incredibly fortunate that I can nip into classrooms very easily. We've worked in one of the history classrooms on, in fact, Wikipedia, and actually shown the students all the tabs on Wikipedia that, do you know what, I can find out how many people have contributed to that site. And for some of the big historical topics, it's tens of thousands of people. And they're all reviewing and making it better, and I think that's wonderful to show our kids that they can also contribute to that as well. The professional learning for your staff and for yourselves, it has to be timeline. If you want to find out how to do something and you actually couldn't figure it out yourself, or you just need that helping hand, it's no good that there's a course in 3 months' time and I'm going on that, that's wonderful. Let's do that now. So if you can get alongside your staff when they need it and where they need it, that's just all the more better. It's accessible. One of my key things, and I think is iterated around the school, is that this is for everybody. I have no idea how an iPad works. I have no idea what is under that bit of glass, in the slightest. In fact, my old boss, who is a sort of computing genius, would tell you that I really know nothing. But I know how to make that device work, and I know how to make it work to benefit learning for our students and for ourselves. So make sure that everybody's included in this. We work collegiately, we work across the schools, we work in teams, we send links, we look at things that are out there and we share. Can't emphasise how important it is to share things when you find them. Quite often as teachers, if we've got a resource, do you know what? I don't want to share that because it might be wrong. That's not what how we teach our children to be, and neither should we be like that as well. If you find something and you like it, somebody else will like it and find it of benefit as well. So do not worry about sharing. Share, share, and share again. And lastly, this all should be about fun. And the reason I say that is I'm a big believer, and we all will be, in having that hook that engages somebody. And the hook does not have to be technology. It can be whatever that person's interested about that hooks you into the learning. And it was somebody, in fact, relevant to this, said, the most important thing is a person. I got two questions quite often as I was going around schools working with iPads. One was, how do I print? That was the key feature of how on earth do I get to print, and I think we've gone past that now. And the second one was, I'm worried that this would somehow replace them. Am I getting myself out of a job because we've now got access to this technology? And it's absolutely not. The most important thing is a person that inspires you, that incites your curiosity, and machines cannot do that as well as people can. And it was Steve Jobs that said that. I'm going to show you this little video clip. It's about a minute long, and it just encourages you. Please share this with your staff. You may have seen it before, and it just tells you why having fun at the outset is so important to the learning process.
Say a few things about impact, and you know, the word measurable, it could be tangible, but we chose measurable. Our attendance is up 92% last year. I think there's a whole range of things contributing to that. Anti-bullying stats are really, really good. 91%, 92% of our students said that we're very good at bullying when reported bullying. Edinburgh average was 61 or 62%. And I think that all the work we've done has contributed to that. Referrals are on the way down, although in November, peaking a wee bit as usual, because that's normal school life. I did a quick check this morning. So far this year, English printing costs are down 30%. Over the year, and maths 20%. We did some calculations, and we've been changing printer suppliers, and we think we can save around £10,000 a year from printing costs. Efficiency in the office, two fewer office staff, and yet we're managing okay because the copying and things like that have gone down. So I think there's measurable things there. Too early to talk about attainment, I think. Cultural impact's much bigger though. I hope you recognise Rosetta making that great new landing yesterday on that. Certainly more fun, a lot more smiling, a lot people showing funny clips and things like that around the school. Have a look at a happy video later on the website, if you forgive some awful dancing by the head teacher in it. I think we're an outward looking school. We're now attracting people from cluster primaries that we weren't attracting, and they're coming to the school, and that's important. I think we've got a real openness to change, and hopefully the staff showed you that there. And it's all embedded, the kind of social responsibility stuff, I think, is a big part of it. We're getting much fewer of the kind of Monday morning, she said this about me on Facebook. And it's all embedded within health and wellbeing and the PSE programmes. More importantly, health and wellbeing is a hard one for a lot of staff to take ownership of, but because they've been through user agreements and read the stuff more carefully, they're promoting this in all the classes as well. And I think fewer sort of examples of kids using mobile phones in class and whatever, they kind of get why, and they appreciate the trust that we're putting in them and giving them iPads.
So I would say biology, because our teacher started using iTunes U and basically started putting all the PowerPoint presentations into iTunes U, and we no longer take notes, we just download them into our iPad, and whenever we need them we just look them up, and this speeds the process of lesson, and they take like much less time, and we get to cover more of what's needed to be covered, and afterwards we have more time to actually do more practice questions or revise. And also we use like different apps that are more creative. So for example, we use Quizlet to create flashcards on what we covered during the lesson. And we can say from the word app has a new thing when we're trying to revise.
The subject I would say my iPad is helping most would be English, and that's because I have dyslexia, and then with my iPad I'm able to enhance my learning abilities, not make as many mistakes, and my teachers are giving me better feedback and are able to send me things that they think would be beneficial in my writing, and I can send them my draft and they can add to it without having to come into school and sort of take up more of their time and time management for our subjects as well.
Recently we had our YPI program where we had to research a charity, then contact them, and at the end we had to make a presentation about them. And that's when I became really useful, because we got to create presentations and also iMovies, which made them much more interesting and made our presentation special in that way.
So I've just finished completing the Lessons from Research project, and that involved me having a one-day trip to Poland, to Auschwitz, and having a look around and seeing what happened there and how it has affected people. And so now that I've come back, I have to deliver a project which is called the Next Steps phase. And so this has involved me delivering a presentation to four S1 classes for RME. And my iPad has helped me do this, as now my presentation is much more mobile, and I have all my things on my iPad, and I can just plug it into the computer, and it's all there for me to show. In Pages, if I spell a word wrong, or I don't understand the word, I can highlight it, and then just click define, and instantly I have a definition, and it will give me some example sentences that it's used in. But if it wasn't there, then I'd have to spend time going through a dictionary, and then maybe get it wrong, and then it's just a big old lot of trouble to get along.
Sometimes we'll do it at the games, or we can send most of the actions to you, and we're at and send it back, like for homework or revision notes, you can highlight some of the revision notes. It's been quite disappointing, really, because everyone's so used to having them, and it makes everything easier for schools, and you can, like, it makes it easier for us to learn, and so it would be strange going back to not having them.
No, I need it. I need to do this. No.
An unforeseen thing, benefits that we didn't expect. You heard Ola talking about YPI, the Young Philanthropy sort of initiative. It really made that easy, and there wasn't this kind of one fight over who got IT labs for research and whatever. They could take the iPads out and interview people in the local charities and whatever. Anyone have the problem of N4 students with no exam leave, and what do you do with them? Well, we actually ran a thing called Meaningful Mayor, and a lot of it was about teaching them how to get the best out of fifth year by using their iPad, and they had intensive training on that. And rather than saying it wasn't fair, we didn't get exam leave, they said it's not fair on these people with exam leave because they're not as well set up for fifth year. And there's 100% attendance most days on that. I'll just find a couple of them. In terms of our learning curve, though, you know, we do have kind of problems with the kind of the Wi-Fi at times. We've had to, you know, significantly upgrade the amount of hubs, and we're still trying to find some areas in school that are not as good. We do find the churn of new students and leavers, and making sure that the parents get the presentation, the user agreements, or whatever, it takes up a fair bit of staff time on that. Misuse, yeah, you'll get some people on Snapchat in class, since you've been on the phone before, not too much. You'll get people that have actually, we've had a couple of cracked screens. We've had one broken iPad from the students and one from the staff. And the student wanted a parent that broke it, and that's been dealt with. So I'm really, really happy with that. There are real workflow management challenges, but I think, you know, Jenny and the team and we're managing to get through this. The thing that could be a big problem actually in the exam time is we learned that you really need to back up very carefully, and you don't have a key English essay on there and no one else when it's meant to be there as evidence. But, you know, we're getting through all these things. And what next? Just finishing off there. I think we're going to have to keep continuing building staff capacity. I'm comfortable with the pace we're moving up. Sustainability, we are under increasing budget pressures, but I think there's ways around it, and savings, staff, you know, printing costs, whatever. I think when iPads have had a 3-4 year cycle, Dave was saying to me earlier, you trade them in, you get £70 towards your next one, they're getting cheaper. So I think we can sustain a model 3, 4, 5, 6, and that's what we hope to do. Building on the creativity, I think we've only just tapped the potential in that area, and as we grow, we'll do more. Skill promotion. We have a lot of contact. I've had a couple of people from abroad. We do not know which other non-feeder primaries, but we have had students coming across from Germany and abroad, and they picked up key school messages about our values and about technology, and that's been really good. And as you saw from the students speaking up, that was a fairly representative sample, and that was really fantastic with it. Continue to improve our communication, always the biggest challenge for the big managers and leaders in schools. And with that in particular, I want to find a way to get better parental communication and work engagement. We're working really closely with the parents on that just now. So, I think that tells our story. 5 years down the line from being a school with little technology, the girls that were speaking there about saying, don't take it away, they've only had the iPads just over a year. And I think it would be unthinkable for anyone in our school to go back to not having them. The students are involved in our recruitment, and they're really keen to ask questions about technology, and we've got to be careful sometimes to say, look, there's a teacher there that has not used iPads, that's okay. We've got to be fair to them. We're looking for potential, we're looking for the teaching skills. But if I see somebody that's not really, you know, willing to embrace that, and it's obvious that their CPD and their answers to the questions show they're behind, they're not meeting the professional standards that we talked about at the start there. So it's really having a big impact. And I think I say to this to you, in your schools, you're going to have recruitment challenges because a lot of our staff are saying, I couldn't go and work in a school that didn't have this kind of technology now. We can't go back. And to me, you know, that's probably the most important thing I'm hearing, that people are on board, they're moving at their own pace, and they don't want to go back. So thank you for your time listening today.